What's up, my Housewives Relatable listeners? It's your girl, Stella. I hope everyone is having a good week. For my part, it's been extremely busy, but I'm always happy to take some time to do the podcast. I make the podcast work. I arrange my life. Actually, I don't arrange my life around my podcast. I arrange my podcast around my life. And right now, my life is very busy. But I'm still committed to you guys. So we have a lot to cover today, guys. So I'm just going to give you a quick breakdown. I'm going to give you my take on what's happening in Potomac and Beverly Hills. We're going to discuss Joe Gorga. Might want to stick for that one a little bit because I have some interesting findings, like a little bit of a blast from the past for those of you who are curious. And I also have a little bit of a long update on the Louis Ruelas case involving Louis and Bodito. So let's jump right into it. Okay, so a lot of people are not going to agree with me, but I'm glad they are revamping the season of The Real Housewives of Potomac. For me, this past season was a snooze fest. The show has lacked some good storylines for some time now, and it's been boring for quite some time, at least a couple of seasons, in my opinion. I've never really been a big fan of Giselle or Robin, and Ashley, I have to say that Ashley, she's good for the show, but she can be very, very messy at times. Actually, a little too messy. And Mia, she is just not my taste. So when it comes to Candace was not a favorite of mine, although I have to admit that over the years, at least for the past maybe two or three seasons, she kind of grew on me a little bit over the past few years, but still not a favorite. By the way, I have to say congratulations to her for being pregnant. We all know that she really wanted a baby really bad. So I'm really happy that she's finally pregnant with Chris. And that, you know, she's going to take some time to focus on herself, on her family, on the baby. And I think it's a good decision on her part to just want to focus on that instead of focusing on chaos and drama and stress. So I'm really happy for her when it comes to the baby announcement. And who else is left on that show? Oh, Nika. Honestly, Nika, she really does not do it for me. I felt, and I've said this at the very beginning when she joined the show, I felt like she came off too strong. And in my eyes, it didn't seem like she showed up as a person who wanted to be friends with Wendy. She belittled her education and her title. She called her mom a witch, and then she did that whole thing about the shrine. Girl, bye. Like, seriously, I'm not a fan of Nika. I'm really happy that she's not returning. I didn't feel like she was really a good fit for the show. So we're basically left with Karen, who is my personally, she's my favorite on the show. I find that Karen Huger, she gives the best shade. She's funny. She could also be messy, but she keeps it classy most of the time. And, you know, Karen, she, you know, she's kind of like the grande dame of the franchise, but at the same time, she can go there as well. You know, like, don't try her. So I really like Karen, but I still don't feel like Karen can carry the whole show all by herself. So it will be very interesting to see what's in store for next season of Potomac, if there is even a season at all. Okay, so there's another departure in the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills franchise, and that person happens to be Crystal Kong Minkoff. I know some people are devastated by the news, and for my part, I have to say that I'm not a fan of Crystal. I have never been a fan of hers. And, you know, I think she had a good run considering what she really had to offer to the show. But as far as my personal taste, I was not a fan of Crystal since she joined the franchise. I didn't really like how she was just like, oh my gosh, everything is an insult. Everyone is saying something wrong. And again, very clumsy with her words all the time, trying to catch people and saying, oh, yeah, you said this, and this is what it means to me. And then, no, this is not what you said. It was very dark, but no, there's something darker. I don't know. Crystal just gets on my nerves a lot. And I already gave you guys my opinion at the reunion. I feel like no matter how people feel about Anne Marie Wiley when she was on the show, I don't believe that she was given a fair shot. Before she even joined the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she was already like crucified on, the stage of public opinions. People already had very strong opinions about Anne Marie before she even joined the cast of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And, sometimes social media and just the media in general can make you hate a person just because, of these narratives that are out there. And in my opinion, and I know a lot of people are not gonna agree with me, but again, I'm not doing this podcast for people to agree with me all the time. I believe in freedom of speech, and I believe also that it is very it is a slippery slope when you cannot speak your mind and when you have to censor yourself as well, right? So I find it very unfortunate that it seems like in a network like Bravo, you have to be a certain way in order to be accepted, or you have to share similar opinions, that are in line with the network in order to have a place on that platform. And I don't think that it's fair. And I also don't believe that it's completely truthful because there's a lot of housewives that when they're on the show, they have to push that narrative that they're so open and that they're for absolutely everything that is out there. And if they go and try to question certain narratives, well, they get shown the door, right? So it's a known fact that Andy Cohen is like a bona fide liberal, which is fine. I'm not trying to bring up politics when it comes to the Real Housewives. We're not going to do that there. But we know that he is a liberal and he is like a big supporter of the Liberal Party. And, he's like a Democrat and he talks about that all the time. And, all of the contributions that you make are public. So, you can search and see how much Andy and Bravo and the network has given to the Democrat Party over the years. And you will see that that amount is very substantial. So it leaves very little room for someone that may have more conservative values to exist on a platform like The Real Housewives. So I don't know. And I'm not saying that, one is better than the other. All I'm saying is that it seems like you have to push or constantly push a certain narrative in order to be in the safe zone as a housewife, right? So, and we can see it. We can see it with people like Kelly, from The Real Housewives of Orange County. She had different views. And then, you even have Vicky Gunvalson who had different views as well. And she was made fun of by Andy because she believed something different during the pandemic and all of that. So, it feels like these housewives are not always protected because of what they choose to believe in. And I don't think that that's fair, especially, we don't necessarily want to have to discuss all of that on a stage like The Real Housewives because of editing. So you don't know how they're going to edit you and how it's going to come across to the public. But it would be, in my opinion, it would be nice if the network could take that into consideration as well, that people don't all have the same opinions, and that's okay, right? I have a problem when people try to shut down other people's perceptions or opinions and say, well, you're wrong if you believe in this and you don't believe in that. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's annoying in my view. And I think that because of her views, she didn't really stand a fair chance. in Beverly Hills or on the Real Housewives franchise. But anyways, I digress. When it comes to Crystal, she will be exiting the show, and now there's another Minkoff that is joining the show. I don't know, there's some rumors out there that this person is a Scientologist. I don't know if I should say allegedly, but it will be interesting to see again what's in store for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. By now, I'm sure you have heard of the podcast that Joe Gorga did. I think it was probably from a few years ago. I don't think it was a recent one, was it? Anyways, I've just seen a snippet of it that was circulating online. And it's basically, for those of you who have not seen it, it's basically Joe Gorga on a podcast giving a little bit of an interview and talking. You know, Joe Gorga, he talks and he gets excited. And he was, I think the question was, how did he get started in his business, like in construction and all of that? So it was very interesting. And he started explaining how he started his construction business, which at the time was a landscaping business. So he said that, you know, my parents were from humble beginnings and, you know, they didn't really have money to lend me like that, right? So I kind of wanted to be my own boss and start my own landscaping company, but I didn't have the credit to do so, and I didn't have the finances to do so as well, right? So I guess at the time, Joe Gorga and Teresa, we're talking about a long time ago, guys, they were very close, okay? So I guess Teresa agreed to help Joe Gorga with his landscaping business as a good big sister. And she was like, you know what? Okay, you need help. I can help you with that. Because she had, I guess she was working. She had a good job and she had some credit cards. And she said to Joe, you know, I can help you with my credit to start your business. So Joe Gorga explained during the podcast that Teresa had three credit cards, and I think they were all $5,000 each. And then he ended up maxing out her credit cards to purchase equipment for, you know, his landscaping company. And he bought like a used truck and some tools. And then there he was. He was in business, right? So I thought that was a very endearing story, by the way, guys. I don't understand the public outrage. There's already people out there saying, like, you see what he did to Teresa? Like, you see? Like, did he pay her back? People are so funny. Like, I'm looking at the comments and I'm just like, oh my gosh, right? And we have to remember, guys, this was at a time when Joe Gorga and Teresa were really, really close, you know. And maybe she just wanted to help out her little brother because, you know, she was a buyer at Macy probably at this point. She was probably making good money. And she was like, you know what? You're my baby brother. I love you. Let me help you out, which is a really nice thing to do as a big sister. And, you know, if I had the opportunity to do that for my siblings, I would, as well as would a lot of people as well, right? So anyways, the reason why I thought that all of this was a little bit funny when people started commenting and saying, you see, this is new information. We did not know about this. See, it's Joel taking advantage of Teresa. I was just like, okay, guys, this has been talked about before. This is not the first time that we hear of this story. Now, did I know that Joe borrowed $15,000 from Teresa? Like, did I know the dollar amount associated with the transaction? No. But did I know that Teresa had helped her brother with the landscaping business? Yes, because this was talked about on the show. I'm just going to play this little excerpt from the show.
How much wine did you, how many bottles did you guys have?
I chipped my little tooth.
I was kind of a little embarrassed. When my husband drinks, things get a little out of control. The look like Tales from the Crypt.
So T, what happened
to us? I'm dying to hear. My cousin Kathy and Richie came, and my brother and Melissa came.
Listen to me. Did you have like a horn around you or no? No, I'm gonna put them around you right now. Here.
Okay.
That's right. We'll take them to get the Maloika later.
We'll take the Maloika sound now.
My husband's been complaining that we have Maloika around us. That means like the evil eye. It's hard to hear my husband saying these things about my family, but a lot of Italians believe in that whole evil spirit thing.
Why are you doing that? Like,
because
you just...
I don't like your f***ing brother.
What is your problem, Joe?
All the appearances that went on throughout the year. Did he ever come to any other one? No. Why did he come this time? For what reason?
He came, he said, because I invited him, so he came to support.
Oh, yeah? He came to support you. Yeah, I don't think so, Trey.
Then why did he come?
Because he's got a faking appearance. All right? This kid is insecure. He's short. He's upset that she's taller. And he's got, she's got more hair.
Joe. I know he loves me. He's getting poison feeding you. Into him.
Shut up.
Don't tell me to shut up, Joe.
I'm going to tell you to shut up because you don't listen. No.
Hello?
All right.
Do not tell me to shut up.
You want to start fighting with me?
No. Don't. Do I ever tell you to shut up? You never fed me poison about my brother. You never said nothing negative about my brother.
About
I know. But he's getting poison fed from his wife.
From his family, obviously. And that whole white trash family from down the shore over there, I swear to God. As drunk as I am, I will never start a fight at any party, especially a kid's christening. This is his sister that started his business, started everything for him.
Why help him?
What do you think I am, f***ing dumb? The freaking kid didn't have shit. All right? You started his business. I can't look up to people like that.
I helped him.
Listen.
I like to, I grabbed a little bit more of the episode just for my listeners, the ones that don't have a photographic memory. I just like to kind of set the scene. So just in case you didn't really remember that, then you could be like, oh, almost like start watching it back in your head, like replay the whole scene in your head. So basically, to make a long story short, if you guys remember, that was season 3. Right after Teresa came back from her book signing. And who showed up at the book signing? It was Richie, Wakili, Kathy. They left. And then after that, Joe and Melissa, Joe Gorga and Melissa came, right? And to her book signing. So Teresa, she went back home. Joe Judice was at the house. It was like a few hours later. He was at the house. I believe Teresa's friend Rosanna was there. I believe her friend Linda was there. And there were a few other guys that were there as well. So Joe Judice was drunk, as you can hear from the audio clip. He was completely drunk. If you guys remember, that's the episode where Joe Judice chipped his tooth. You know, he did some sort of flip. And then he fell and on the ground, hit his head or his face, and he chipped his tooth. And then Gia was crying and screaming and, you know, causing a whole scene because he chipped his tooth and he kind of looked a little weird, right? So anyways, back at the table, at the dining table, you know, the wine was flowing. And you guys know, I also like Joe Judice. Even though I love Joe Gorga and Melissa and all that, I still like Joe Judice as well, right? So anyways, Joe was drunk though. He was very drunk. And as you can hear on the recording, he was not nice. That was not nice, Joe, what you said. He was going in on Joe Gorga. And he was saying to Teresa, at that point, I don't have any respect for your brother. You started his business for him, and I can't respect people like that. That's what he said, right? And then you can hear Teresa say, oh, I helped him. I helped him. I helped him. And then he keeps on, like, he gets into it with Teresa, too, at the table in front of everyone. And I guess what's missing is the visual. But if you have a chance, guys, go back to try to watch that episode. I think it's season 3 and it's the episode called Black as Ink. Okay. So anyways, you see everyone is there, like, looking at Joe, like, what's the matter with you? Why are you talking like this to your wife? And why are you saying all of these things? Because he was being belligerent. He was super drunk, right? His teeth were purple from the red wine. And he was just going in on Joe Gorga and Melissa. And again, I played that audio clip. I do not support anything that Joe Giudice said in that audio clip, but it's just to give you a good understanding of what he was basically trying to say back then. So, Teresa, you can hear her in the background say to her husband, "You never fed me any poison about my brother." Meanwhile, Joe Giudice is feeding her a whole bunch of poison about her brother. So I thought that was pretty interesting in that scene as well. So now you have a whole bunch of people out there that are also saying, well, you see, Teresa helped her brother, and you see how he treated her over the years. I bet you he never even reimbursed her, this and that. And people are just ready to attack Joe Gorga, because we already know Joe Gorga and Melissa, no matter what they do, they cannot win. It doesn't matter if they do everything right. People are always unwilling to give them credits, and it's really annoying. But anyways, just to answer that question, I thought I would show both sides of the coin. So for those of you who are wondering if Joe ever repaid Teresa, I'm gonna make you listen to another audio clip from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Here it is.
The In Touch magazine.
I don't want to talk about that. Nudie Jigarvaya, you know where he's Nudie Jigarvaya.
Just listen. It's a mocking Megan. Your husband said some things about me. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know that I'm your brother, no matter what. And this is true. I'm looking at you right now. We might have some disagreements, but no matter what, I'll always be there for you.
Well, I mean, he doesn't feel it that way, because when he was away for the week, you didn't even call me that whole week.
It's true. When my husband went away, my brother wasn't there for me. Now, here I am, a woman by myself with four kids. You know, why didn't my brother call me and see if, you know, I was okay, if I needed anything?
Reason why I didn't call you. I've called you before when I heard about your bankruptcy and you shut me down.
No, I didn't shut you down. I didn't understand it at first. You know, Joe was handling everything. I didn't even know about it. So that's why I said that. I was being honest with you.
Okay.
What I said to you was the truth, you know?
Okay.
I think this is what I said to you. Everything's fine, Joe. And that's what I said, right?
Okay. Teresa is in serious denial about life. Life is not perfect. We all have our issues. If you don't have issues, you're not human. So, you know, be real and I'll be real with you. Everything's fine, but now you have an article out there, and your husband said I would never be here for you. I remember a time about 4 or 5 years ago when you guys asked me to lend you $25,000, right? You called me in the morning, and I was there in the afternoon with a check.
Whatever, Joe. I mean,
what do you mean, whatever? Why are you getting nasty?
I'm not getting
nasty. Why are you so defensive?
I'm not being defensive, because, like, why are you bringing up money?
Well, your husband brought that up.
Are you kidding me? This is what it's all about. Everybody fights over money and jealousy.
I don't know why you get so defensive.
I'm not
Bottom
getting
line
defensive.
Is, honey, listen, you need me, whatever happens, I will be there. I'm your brother.
I want to have a relationship with you, because then
how can we have a relationship? I just sat here trying to be positive, and you
what
just
do you mean
ripped
positive?
My
You're
head
bringing
off.
Up money.
So in that scene, that is the first episode of season 4, okay? And I think it's labeled High Tide, New Low. Something like that. Anyways, it's the first episode of season 4. Epic season, by the way. Every time I watch the old seasons, I'm always just like, oh my gosh, this show was so good. Like, it was really, really, really good. Anyways, I digress. So anyways, in that audio clip, you can hear Joe Gorga is at the Jersey Shore with Teresa, and Teresa's there with her kids as well. She's there with her husband. Everyone is there. Like, Melissa and Joe are there, but they're a little bit farther away on the beach, okay? So then at some point in time, Joe tells his sister, come with me, you know, let's go sit down. they sit down away from everybody. Teresa has this like bathing suit, that like this blue bathing suit and a cowboy hat. And then she says, oh, here we go again. What are we going to talk about, right? And by the way, guys, this is the season where when Teresa said to Joe that Melissa would leave him for a richer man if the opportunity came along, right? So first episode, those guys are sitting on the beach and Joe is saying to Teresa, listen, there's a whole bunch of things that came in this magazine and I want to talk to you about that. And right away, Teresa puts the wall up. She's defensive. She says to Joe in Italian, I don't want to talk about it. Don't mention it. Don't talk about it. Then Joe's like, listen, we have to talk about it because your husband is always spewing things and saying to everyone that I'm never there for you, that I never do anything for you. So I want to talk about it. And Teresa's just like, well, that's his opinion. That's how he feels. You know, when he went away to prison, basically, he was upset that you never called me, that you never checked up on me. I'm a single mom with little kids. You're my brother. You live in the same town and you don't even think about me, right? So Joe, again, he has to defend himself again and say to Teresa, listen, the reason why I didn't call you is because last time when I called you about the bankruptcy, you didn't want to talk about it. So I just stayed away. I'm trying to mind my business. I'm not trying to pry. Again, you can't win for losing, right? With Teresa, you can never win. So finally, Joe says to Teresa, do you really believe that I wouldn't be there for you? And he says, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And then he says this, and I don't know if you guys remember, but it's in the clip. He says to Teresa, do you remember a few years ago you needed money and you asked me for $25,000? You called me in the morning. You said, hey, baby brother, I need $25,000. It was the afternoon. I knocked at your door and I came with a check for $25,000. So Teresa says, why do you always talk about money? Why does it always have to be about money? And then Joe is just like, no, I'm not making it about money. I'm just saying, when you say I'm not here for you, I am here for you as well. I'm your brother. So whatever you need, I'm here, right? But of course, she does not understand it like that. So I hope that this settles the question if Joe Gorga has ever repaid Teresa back, because here you can hear it in the clip. Speaking of Joe Giudice, have you seen his post today? Let me play it for you guys.
I want to just get on, do a quick video live. No, I got to stay on there for a minute. For what? That's why I've been on Vinivia. Vinivia lets you do what you want, tape as long as you want, and you end it. What's this 1 minute long, or we can't post, we can't do this? It's all bullcrap. All right? Anyway. I've been very busy working on my abs, just to let you know. All right? Can you see them or not? Well, if you can, I can. All right, anyway. Let me go do my abs. Maybe you can see it better. Anyway. That wheel is unbelievable. Hold on. Let's see if we got any fish here in the water here. Got a nice boat. Got a little scarab. Nice little scarab. We got a couple of lovers over there going to the bar. A little shit-faced on the beach. Along with that. Got a nice bar over there. You got a nice bar on the other side. You got the Sandy Port Hotel over here. There you go, where I live over here in the Sandy Port. It's like a community. Has a high school and everything. And there you go, a couple coming from the beach. They're actually pretty nice, these hotels over here in Sandy Port.
So it's basically Joe Giudice on his balcony in the Bahamas, and he's about to like train with some sort of like wheel. Anyways, it's a fairly short video, like Instagram video, but he takes the time to plug Vinivia. And he does it in a very subtle way. But what a nice guy. Seriously. Juju Dice, what a nice guy. Because Teresa hasn't really been nice towards Joe Giudice in recent weeks, you know. She's been dragging him a little bit, but Joe always remains a class act. Anyways, I just thought that was funny. I just wanted to include that. So I promised you an update on the case involving Louis Ruelas and Bodito and, you know, other people that are also involved in the lawsuit. So I'm about to cover just that because we have an update. So I'm not going to read the whole legal jargon for all of you guys. That's boring. So I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit and summarize my finding to you guys. And at the same time, I would say, although I do not have any control over that, if you choose to use the audio of this podcast to share, because I know that some people share my stuff with other people, and that's completely okay, even though I don't know who you're sharing that information with, that's fine. I will say that although I am paraphrasing or summarizing the legal document for you for the purpose of this podcast, this is not my opinion. This is what is being said in the legal document. So if you are to extract something out of this podcast, I would just simply ask that you try to take the full statement as opposed to snippets of it, because those are not my claims, but the claims that were made by Louis Ruelas. So basically, in the document that I have in front of me, we have Louis Ruelas's lawyer, which is Jeremy Iandolo and Iandolo Law. They're responding to a legal document from the plaintiff, Johnson Litigation Group, and Kevin Johnson. The plaintiff, so last week I said something around the lines that they didn't submit their full complaint on time, and they did mention some things that Louis says are completely untrue. So they are responding to that, and they are officially saying that they deny every single thing mentioned in the plaintiff's document from February 12, 2024. So the nature of the counterclaim: the case involves allegations against Kevin Johnson and the Johnson Law Group, and they will be referred in this document as the plaintiffs. So they're accused of engaging in unlawful and severe misconduct. It also includes breaching ethical duties, harming the reputation of Louis, and trying to discourage legal action by filing a baseless lawsuit in response to a legitimate demand. That's basically Louis's attorneys saying this. So in short, what they're trying to convey is that Kevin Johnson was already found, his actions were already found wrongful in a previous legal proceeding, and his actions have caused significant hardship to Louis, and this situation needs to be addressed because Kevin Johnson's actions go against basic legal and ethical principles. So it says that Louis Ruelas, known for being an owner of a technology company, traded in the on the stock market and also a reality TV personality, has faced significant harm, and the harm is attributed to various factors, including irresponsible public statements and alleged wrongdoing by Kevin Johnson, along with his law firm. Additionally, another person named Danielle Rosenberg, who used to work at Hamara Law Group, which is the predecessor of Johnson's firm, initially brought Louis in as a client for a legal case. However, before leaving Hamara in December 2022, Daniel Rosenberg hired Bodito and Associates to investigate potential breaches of confidentiality by Louis's ex, like his ex-fiance. So It says that Louis suspected that his ex was sharing confidential information with patients and cast members of The Real Housewives of New Jersey to undermine him and Teresa. And that was seen as an effort to increase the drama and the interest in the show. It says that to confirm Louis' suspicions, Bo Dietl's office took action without Louis' knowledge or consent. They sent an undercover patient. Actually, it says undercover patients, so maybe there's more than one, to gather firsthand evidence of his ex's improper actions and violations of both ethical standards and legal regulations. So after the investigation mentioned earlier, the results were that it included confidential communications such as recordings of private sessions. They were sent to Bo Dietl's firms to Daniel Rosenberg's email address at Hamara. We have to remember that Danielle no longer worked at Hamara Group, right? So anyways, Bo Dietl's firms was not aware that Daniel Rosenberg no longer had access to her Hamara email account. So Kevin Johnson, who was the managing partner of Hamara, accessed Rosenberg's emails and discovered the confidential communications intended for Rosenberg as well as counsel. Instead of handling the situation carefully, Johnson made it worse by creating additional emails under fake names and forwarding them to Louis' opponent. This was done to sabotage Louis' legal case, generate controversy, and potentially create material for reality TV. Importantly, Johnson never informed the sender that Rosenberg, Daniel, no longer worked for the firm, nor did he provide any notice of her departure. Johnson's actions, including his manipulation of media and legal proceedings, clearly lacked prudence. Again, those are not my words. That is in the documents, and that's what it says. So we all know that last year, Louis went in front of the court with his ex, like, you know, the whole final restraining order thing. So basically, that was a case that was heard by the New Jersey Chancery Division. And Johnson, Kevin Johnson's client, which is Louis' ex, she was unable to secure a final restraining order against Louis. The court decided that her allegations were unfounded and raised concern about the lawyer, her attorney's behavior, particularly his interest in cast members of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I'm just going to pause this just for a quick second here. I just want to say, for those of you who are not on the Substack, I've done a little bit of a deep dive on the actual judge. And it's all on there on the Substack. You can see it's pretty interesting, some of the decisions that she has rendered in similar cases. So I just thought I would say this. Okay, so during the trial, Kevin Johnson's credibility was called into question. And that's something that I've also heard. I heard that the judge was extremely hard on him, on, you know, on the attorney representing Louis' ex. Apparently, it was a little bit of a nightmare between those two. And there was a lot of tensions. That's what I've heard. So the court highlighted, you know, that he had like a fascination for the RHONJ cast members and his use of fake names to send, you know, important or sensitive communications to the other team, basically. And additionally, the court identified numerous violations of protection orders and civil restraints, and she attributed them to Louis' ex fixation on the show and on Louis, And in a nutshell, the whole case was dismissed. So following the dismissal of Louis's ex complaint on November 21st, 2023, Louis's lawyer, Marco LaRocca, informed Kevin Johnson and his firm that they would be sued for malpractice. This was due to their alleged breach of ethical duties towards Louis and his and their subsequent disclosure of confidential attorney-client information, resulting in significant harm to Louis, both financially and personally. It is believed that Kevin Johnson responded to this notice on November 21st, 2023, possibly to buy a little bit more time to plan against Louis and the other ones that are involved in the lawsuit. That's what the document says. Then on February 12, 2024, Kevin Johnson filed a summons with notice in the Supreme Court of New York naming Louis, Bodito, Daniel Rosenberg, and her firms, as well as Marco LaRocca, who represented Louis in the past. So following the order, an opinion of Judge Stacy D. Adams, that's the name of the judge that presided over that case. So it was determined that Louis was not responsible for the smear campaign and the harassment and the abuse and all the claims that were made by Kevin Johnson and his ex. That's what the document says. Again, not my words. However, the court, as we know, found that both Johnson and his client, which was Louis's ex at the time, had an obsession with Louis, his family, and the other people of the show or that are involved in the show of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, if that makes any sense. So it says in the document here that despite knowing all of that, that the attorney, Kevin Johnson, was reckless and made reckless statements to the media. He was contradicting the court's conclusion, and he was making the claim that he to have received illegal emails accidentally, and then he forwarded them to his client after discussing it with someone, and yada yada yada. You know, there's like a whole bunch of stuff in there. So in a nutshell, it says that on February 13, 2024, despite knowing otherwise, Johnson accused Ruelas, Bodito, and their legal representatives of engaging in criminal, reckless, malicious, and fraudulent behavior intended to defraud and cover up their own wrongdoings. Their allegation directly contradicted the order and opinion of Judge Stacy Adams, which Johnson knew would be damaging. That's what the document says there. So it says that on October 26, 2023, the attorney continued to engage in slander, libel against Louis, and he claimed that the actions of Louis, Bodito, and Daniel Rosenberg were illegal and unethical. So Kevin Johnson apparently told the Daily Beast that he testified at Louis' ex's trial, but he omitted crucial facts, including that the court not only questioned his credibility, but also his overall character. So the opinion of that judge, Stacy Adams, she basically highlighted his behavior during the trial. She stated that he had forwarded work product intended for his former law partner to the opposing party under a fake name. So the court found that Kevin Johnson's behavior was unethical. And, you know, they kind of made some comments about his poor eye contact, how he appeared to be nervous in court. And they basically said that he seemed to be overly obsessed with the cast of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And the fact that he used a fake name indicated his awareness of his actions. So in summary, the court concluded that Johnson had a strange infatuation for RHO and J cast members, which likely fueled his continued media attention and false misleading statements. Ooh, so that was a lot, guys. That was a lot of information. You know, all of these legalities and legal documents could be a little bit intimidating at time, but for those of you who like to know about that stuff a little bit more in detail, I have done the work for you guys. Hopefully you appreciate it. But one thing that I'm going to say, the plot thickens for sure. And this was Louis' response, or his attorney's response, basically, you know, a counterclaim to what they're being accused of at the moment. So that's their response. And obviously, they're going to have a different outlook on the whole situation. So I have to share the side of Kevin Johnson, and I have to share the side of Louis for those of you who are interested. So that's all I have for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in once again. And again, you can follow me on my Instagram at relatable_Stella. And please join the Substack community at housewivesrelatable.substack.com. And everywhere else, I am Housewives Relatable on Twitter and YouTube. And as always, thank you for being a fan and not fanatical. Ciao.